This is Dom Bettinelli, the CEO of SQPN, with a brief but very important message. For more than a decade, SQPN has produced the Catholic faith and pop culture podcasts that you love. We're a nonprofit organization, so it's only your generosity that lets us carry out our mission. We haven't run a fundraiser in 2 years, and that's why we need to ask for your help right now. Please make a pledge of whatever amount you can afford to help us continue providing your favorite podcasts, as well as exciting new ones we have planned. To make your pledge and find out about the free thank you gifts we'd like to send you, visit sqpn.com/give. That's sqpn.com/give. Thank you for your generosity. May we hear from you today?
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 26, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Father Corey Stika here. Welcome once again to this week's episode of Let's Talk. We're glad you joined us. This week, we've got a couple of returning panelists, a couple of our friends who have been here a couple of times before. They're getting to be friendly faces, familiar faces. First, we got Angela down in deep in the heart of Texas. How's it going, Angela?
Hey there, y'all. Since you introduced me that way, how could I not say that?
Exactly. Of course, all I can think is the Pee Wee Herman scene from that movie from way back when. But and then we got Joanne joining us from very snowy Rhode Island. How's it going there?
Good morning. Yes, we still have snow on the ground before Thanksgiving. Makes New Englanders very cranky, but I'm not.
we're kind of the same boat. We don't have anywhere near as much snow as they got over there, but we got some white stuff on the ground too, so that's always fun. You know, yesterday we had a day where it was warmer at 7 in the morning than it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It started with snow in the morning, and it just got colder throughout the day, so...
Yeah, we've just had bizarro weather up here, even for us. It's been hot, it's been cold, and within a day it flips, so... Mm-hmm. It's global warming. Who knew?
Yeah. Global warming, global cooling, global. The climate doesn't know what it's doing and why it's doing it. So, well, how things been going for you guys? How you guys been keeping busy? I'm sure. I know Joanne has been. All the kind of stuff you got going on.
Hectic at the parishes. It's that time of year. In fact, as we're recording this today, there's a bazaar going on, Christmas bazaar at our rectory, our parishes in Lakeville. And my parish here at home in North Providence has one. So we'll be going out to that one afterwards. It's that time of year. Plenty of crafts to be bought and sold.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Big fundraiser for different organizations in the parish. Is that what it is? Or
it's the main fundraiser for Saints Martha and Mary. That's their big fundraiser every year. So, and it's a fun event. We have these baskets that the parishioners come with and they make up. And there's always, of course, baked goods right before Thanksgiving, you know, baked goods. Like we're not going to eat enough.
get your dinner rolls now.
Oh, not like, no, we're talking pumpkin bread. We're talking
even better.
You know, cookies and cakes and
pie.
Pie. There's pie.
I'm there if there's pie.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward. We have an apple tree in the back of behind the rectory here, and it's been very prolific the last couple of years. So I'm looking forward to some homemade apple pies for Thanksgiving. That's going to be very, very tasty. What's been going on with you, Angela?
Well, I haven't been on since we talked about Dia de los Muertos. So, I was able to go out and visit the cemeteries and see family and friends, and that was good. But man, I forgot how tiring that can be. It's a lot of cross town driving, and family buried out in the, you know, kind of the backwoods areas of the rural parts of San Antonio. So, that was good. And now I'm just making that Christmas list, you know?
Oh yeah, yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about that, about some of the stuff people are doing to prepare for Christmas gift giving. Yeah, and it's been busy here as well. You know, of course, getting ready for Thanksgiving coming up this week, and starting to do our planning for Advent and Christmas, and actually sat down and did kind of a schedule of here's for the rest of the year, you know, going into, you know, Easter and beyond, what are we going to be doing? So get that kind of planning done now before things really get hectic and nasty. And we got to do a penance service this week, you know, that kind of thing. So
Panic.
Yeah, exactly. And I've done that before. It's like, oh, we should probably have a penance service. Yeah. Okay, let's do it tomorrow. You
know? we have little retreats in Advent and Lent. So we always get our reconciliation service in right in the middle of those. So
that's a good way to do it. You kind of a mission or a retreat type of deal. It's a good way to do it. So, of course, it is Thanksgiving coming up, and you know, we're all kind of in that preparation mode for celebrating Thanksgiving. Again, here in the United States, for those in other countries, you do a lot of countries, especially those who are countries that are, you know, were former colonies of the UK, especially, but other countries as well, have some form of a Thanksgiving celebration. You know, of course, ours is, again, this coming up this week on Thursday. And so we're all doing preparations. What are some of the traditions that your family does with Thanksgiving? Joanne, what are some of the things that you usually will, the regular things that will happen on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, my parents were alive. We had more family. I'm an only child, so I don't have an extended family that's in the area. So we used to get up in the morning, and of course, Macy's Thanksgiving Parade be on the TV for at least 3 hours while you're and my mom, not the greatest cook in the world, always made, I think, the best turkey, because she would put the Portuguese, what we call pimenta huida, which is a real hot pepper. Ooh. And it's kind of a crushed pepper, but it's in a more of a liquid form. So we slather that all over the outside of the turkey, throw in some green peppers and onions. And even my husband says it's still the best turkey that he eats when I decide to make it. And then our stuffing is usually, there's charisse involved I still make it. When I do make it, I still make it the old fashioned way, which is I get the 2 day old breads and rip them up and I do everything from scratch. This year we are spending Thanksgiving with some really good friends of ours. So it's going to be a little bit different. I've never had antipasto for Thanksgiving. But they're Italian.
There you go.
So my husband Kevin is going to be making that. And I'm actually going to make some Portuguese sweet rice, which is my favorite and is a favorite of my cousin who is elderly and in a nursing home, and she's been asking for it. So it'll be a little bit different this year, being with a different family. But that's part of what Thanksgiving is, I think. It's my husband's favorite holiday. And it's the one that he wants to spend with the most amount of people.
So that's great.
If we can do that, that's what we always try to do every year now.
That's awesome. How about you, Angela? Are there any traditions you enjoy doing every year?
Well, you know, my family traditions kind of, like everybody else's, they go in seasons. The seasons of life. You know, of course, when I was younger, we would get together with just our own family, our family unit, or, you know, extended family. If, you know, my mother has 8 siblings, 7 of whom live in the area. So, you know, everybody has their in-laws and different extended family. So we wouldn't always get the whole gang together, but, that was, interesting, especially because my dad's side of the family that I've talked about before, the Mexican side, they didn't always celebrate Thanksgiving because it's a U.S. holiday and they really don't have something like that in Mexico. So it was kind of weird for a few years, but they eventually kind of adopted it.
Sure.
And so now It's actually my dad's mother that is hosting Thanksgiving this year. She's living in a retirement community where they have a kitchen and they have cooks, and she actually reserve a dining room for us. So she really likes to do that. so nobody has to cook.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. So that's a new tradition for sure.
One thing we've always done, of course, is kind of the traditional Thanksgiving dinner, turkey and stuffing and sweet potatoes and potatoes and, you know, relish trays. We'll have relish trays with pickled beets and pickles and olives. You know, I was the kid who did the olive on every finger, the black olive on every finger, and would pop them off, you know, as we're going along. And then we might pull in some more. I guess you could call it ethnic food, but food from, you know, our background, our heritage of Norwegian and Swedish and Czech. And so we'd have things like lefse, which is a potato flatbread. Awesome. Fantastic. It's, you know, it looks like a tortilla, but it's made out of potato. And then you slather on butter and cinnamon and sugar. And it's just, it's incredible. And roll it up. We do different kinds of, you know, different sweet breads and things like that from the old country. So it's but it'd be very, look like a very traditional, quote unquote, American Thanksgiving dinner with the turkey and all that. One thing we've been doing since I've moved here to Malta is I've got some good friends, parishioners, the Shipmans, who they have a raft of kids and, you know, big family and everything. And so we'll take over the parish hall. And my parents will come down to visit. They'll be here this week. And we'll take over the parish hall and we'll cook and we'll put on football on the TV. Because, of course, there's football to watch. NFL is going on all day. And and use the parish kitchen to cook all the good stuff and just let the kids run and just play, because we got a little playroom they can use. And it's just a great way to do it, where we could just kind of enjoy the holiday and get together and have fun, because it's otherwise it'd just be my parents and I, and that's kind of a small, boring celebration. So
been there, done that. I think what happens with Thanksgiving traditions is that they take, even if you're an immigrant from another country, you still kind of do the American, air quote, thing, but you make it your own. When you get to Christmas, however, now that becomes back to your own roots type of celebration. So like I was saying, you know, with using the different Portuguese spices and the Portuguese sausages, but in an American.
The turkey.
Yeah, yep. that's the way, you know, my immigrant relatives did it. And I think, but when it came to Christmas, however, oh no, now we've got the fishes. Now we've got the special things that you do in the old country, and you celebrate Christmas that way.
Yeah, it is interesting the way we kind of color our holiday celebrations by our backgrounds. You know, again, you know, what one culture would do for a traditional Christmas dinner, or even a family. You know, I can think of my family, kind of our Christmas tradition, you know, going into that would be like Christmas Eve. We would do we would do more like appetizer type foods, you know, crackers and cheese trays and veggie trays and like a seafood spread and things like that, hot seafood spread and things like that. And then Christmas would be the big dinner. That'd be the, you know, where you'd pull out the crab legs and the steak and things like that and just have the big feast.
Okay, so since you brought up dinner, let me ask you this. Everyone says Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. Dinner being, in my region of the world, the evening meal.
Right.
And then there's lunch. So, but here we're like among my family, and what's typical is that we eat Thanksgiving meal during lunch, and then for the rest of the day, we're just kind of passed out.
Yeah, and grazing. But
is that how you all do it?
We usually do kind of the about 3 o'clock is usually what we plan. So we'll have something, you know, light for a breakfast, say, you know, a brunch. You know, something, you know, 11 o'clock or so, just to tide us over while cooking is going on. And then about 3 o'clock is when the actual meal will happen. And then if you get hungry in the evening, you can just, again, you know, there's leftovers. You can graze.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is the great grazing day, I think, because even when you sit down to a meal, you've grazed before and you're grazing later.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I think people, every diet goes out the window and every good food choice doesn't happen because you pile that plate on. And it's quite, I used to love watching my husband and his father try to, you know, pile as much on the plate as possible. Like they weren't going to get anything later, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Or you couldn't go back for seconds, you know?
Oh, they'd be picking on the turkey, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, oh, well, wait, is there anything left on the bone? Well, we don't. It's interesting. Family dynamics at this time are also very interesting. When families get together, all kinds of things can evolve.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I was just thinking about, you know, we eat turkey. My mom's side of the family has always eaten turkey, but my dad's side of the family isn't really big on turkey, so we eat ham also. Do y'all do the ham thing?
Yeah, I know a lot of families that do turkey and ham both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just did turkey because ham was Easter. So yeah, that was in my family. Ham, you took out the Easter ham. And I don't like ham. Funny, I like pork, but I don't like ham for some reason.
Yeah, see, yeah, I love a good ham, you know, good roasted ham. Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. You know, like you said, with the family, you know, customs and ethnic flavor and stuff. I was just trying to think if there were any Thanksgivings where we had like tamales and beans, but probably not actually. It's probably more like what you're saying, that even though people are starting to make tamales and they're starting right now, you know, a couple weeks ago, my grandmother was already taking orders for what kind of tamales do you want? But you know, it's still, when it comes down to the actual day of Thanksgiving, it's the traditional potatoes and green beans and, you know, cranberries and all that good stuff. So that is really interesting.
Well, it's funny you mentioned, you know, the green beans. Of course, you know, green bean casserole for many people is a big Thanksgiving one. And that's actually relatively recent. Was it like in the 50s that it became kind of a thing with like Campbell's soups and things like that?
Mm-hmm. I think it was because they finally got those onions in the can. Yeah. That's what everybody gets, is those crunchy onions, and they've got to put them on top. And
some for the casserole, some for me, some for the casserole.
Exactly. I used to see that in other places, but my family never had that. I found that very, I had a very, I don't want to say sheltered, but growing up, it was very Portuguese traditions. Mm. And then when I married into an American, air quote, family, now I get to see what the other side was. I had never carved a pumpkin until married. Mm. You know, I never saw them on doorsteps because we lived in the city. So it was like, so some of this stuff to me is still kind of new. But after 30 some odd years, but traditions are born out of what people, I mean, at least with immigrants, my immigrant families, they took the American and made it Portuguese. Right. That's basically what they did. So when I saw what the American was, I was like, oh, so they didn't do like that one. They didn't like pumpkins and they didn't like this and they didn't that. So they left that out.
You know, admittedly, as we see with the big push for pumpkin spice, everything, the only reason why we eat pumpkin pie. Though?
I mean, it's so good. Pumpkin spice is just, I mean, my mom makes awesome pumpkin spice cupcakes. Wow, I could eat so many of those.
That's the point, though. The reason why we eat pumpkin pie is we love the spices that go into it, because pumpkin itself is relatively flavorless. It's got some flavor, but not much. But we love the spices, and that's why they are making, you know, pumpkin pie Twinkies or pumpkin spice. Of course, lattes was the first big one, but, you know, everything else beyond that.
It's the spice you put into the pumpkin that makes it. And I don't mind it. I like pumpkin pie, but I'm not a coffee drinker, so I miss out on half of the other stuff. But I know people's eyes this year rolled the minute pumpkin spice came out. I was like, really?
Let's just, yeah, their eyes roll, but you know that their wallets are opening too.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. I mean, it's just the, how much there is of it. I mean, it's yeah. everywhere. I mean, I thought I saw like pumpkin spice M&Ms or something like that now, you know?
That's a little too far.
Yeah, you know, it's just everything's got a little bit of the pumpkin spice in it now. You know, I know there's pumpkin spice Twinkies. I saw them sitting next to the cash register at the store. I'm glad I stayed away from that. That's all I would need, you know?
I'm sure there's no real pumpkin or spice in those.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if they last 25 years.
Yeah. Pumpkin spice Twinkies made with real artificial pumpkin spice flavoring.
Okay. I have a funny pumpkin story. So here in South Central Texas, the weather isn't exactly the same as what people typically think of in the rest of the country when they think of fall. But there are a lot of people who are moving here from different states because sure. of the low, you know, cost of living, stuff like that. And so people are putting pumpkins out on their front porch. Mm. Now, the problem with that is that you have several weeks of, you know, 70, 80, 90 Ooh. Degree weather, your pumpkin starts to rot. And so I've been getting kind of a kick out of seeing, I live in an apartment complex and kind of seeing who has a pumpkin out and how long is it lasting? Because I had a neighbor one time who left a pumpkin out for much longer than they should have. And I literally Ooh. Just watched that pumpkin shrink over the weeks. So pretty funny.
I love the video I saw up in Canada. The problem they have, moose like pumpkins. So they put out a pumpkin. Yeah, they put out a pumpkin for thanks or for Halloween, and moose decided that was dinner. So they're sitting out looking out their window, and you see the moose just chowing down. Kind of looks at them and takes another bite, and oh well.
We don't have that problem here in New England, unless you all north.
Are you seeing Christmas decorations popping up already?
Oh, please.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because typically that I remember that starting after Thanksgiving as sort of like the traditional, like once Thanksgiving comes and everybody starts decorating their houses. But it seems like now it's so much faster. It's like right after Halloween,
you know,
September 1st.
Yeah. See, that's I'm not opposed to earlier decorations, especially since, you know, like Joanne, I live in a place where it gets dark at 5 o'clock in the, you know, at night. So those lights are very welcome for that part of it. But it is kind of frustrating where you have people that December 26th, they're taking them down.
Yeah.
And it's like the Christmas celebration has just started. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're removing them. And it's because I'm one of those. I like to celebrate Advent. And by the way, we'll talk about Advent next week. Let's talk. We've already got that lined up. But I like to celebrate Advent by not doing a lot of the Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, like listening to it on the satellite radio and things like that, you know, listening to Christmas music and that. Well, they shut it all down December 26th. When I'm ready to start enjoying it, it goes away. And, you know, and it's more frustrating for me. It's like there are some of us out there that we want to celebrate Christmas during the traditional Christmas season, you know. So, and again, we'll talk more about that. But
they don't see that. You know, I'm a practical gal. Right after Thanksgiving, we put our lights up outside because we try to get it before everything starts freezing. This year going to be a little interesting, but we're going to. We're going to try to get it up there and get things into the ground. But we don't light anything until about the third Sunday of Advent, which gets my husband a little itchy. But we try to wait because I try to celebrate Advent as Advent and Christmas is Christmas. Right. I even have playlists now because I can't do the radio thing. So I have my Advent playlist, my pre-Christmas Santa Claus is coming to town playlist. And then I have my religious playlist after the 26th.
Right.
To play through Epiphany. It's society. Society is pushing all these holidays quicker. And I think it's more economical, you know, for economics. We want to sell things. Right.
Right. Well, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, it makes sense that, you know, people complain, well, Halloween is over, and as soon as they pull off all the Halloween stuff, they immediately throw up the Christmas stuff. Well, they're going to do that. You know, we know that most businesses operate at least 2 months ahead of whatever they're aiming towards. Mm-hmm. You know, so they put the summer stuff out in March. They put the Christmas stuff out at the beginning of November and so on. And that's fair enough. You want that. They want to get that stuff sold before the season. But because it doesn't make sense that they're going to try to sell Christmas stuff, New Year's Day. Understandable.
But they're almost effectively squeezing Thanksgiving out of the picture.
Yeah.
So you notice they go from Halloween in the stores to Christmas, and Thanksgiving is sort of like one aisle with a bunch of turkey themed things, and that's it.
Yeah.
You make a lot of money on it.
You get the fake pilgrim's hat and things like that. But it makes sense because as far as sales, Thanksgiving is really not a big moneymaker. Grocery stores make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
You know, food is the biggest sale. The NFL makes a lot of money off of it from people sitting watching it. The TV stations make a lot of money off of it, but it's not a big seller. Christmas is. People want the decorations. People want the gifts. They want the food. They want the candy. They want this. They want, they want everything that goes around Christmas. So I understand that. And, I don't think any of us are going to sit here and say, well, don't celebrate Christmas early. No, that's fine. It just would be nice if for those of us who do want to celebrate the traditional 12 days of Christmas that we can.
Right. No, I agree. I agree because they forget completely that it's a season. And I don't think society really realizes it's a season.
Right.
They look at it as one day, calendar day. We in the church look at it as a season.
Well, I've known people to do the 12 days of Christmas and they start 12 days before Christmas, not recognizing that the 12 days of Christmas, by the way, going into the religious side of these holidays, and we'll talk about Thanksgiving's religious background in a little bit, but it starts Christmas Day and goes to the traditional day of Epiphany on the 6th. Count it out. That's 12 days.
Yeah. So I try to, I try to remind my friends or even teach my friends on social media that I'm starting my celebration of Christmas on, Christmas Eve, evening. And that every day during the actual Christmas season, I try to put that up, I am now listening to Christmas music because that's my choice and because, why I'm doing it. And so I think, it's a good reminder for us to, to try to be a positive influence on people and kind of show the joy that we have and the reason that we wait and also the reason we give thanks. I mean, that's one of the cool things that I like about Thanksgiving and social media is that it is nice to see people posting stuff about what they're grateful for. And is it a little bit disappointing that maybe we don't see that more often than, having a designated holiday for it, maybe. Yeah. But, it is a good reminder.
Yeah.
And as we were talking about, ethnic backgrounds, most Europeans go for Epiphany. I mean, Epiphany is their celebration of Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I think Mexicans, I would be right, Angela, to say that.
Yeah.
I know the Italians do. Portuguese, it can go either way, but we still look at that whole 12 days of Christmas as the celebration.
Right.
But society, no, one day, Halloween gets one day, Thanksgiving gets one day. That's the mindset. One day and done.
Yeah. Well, we got to get back to work. Yeah. Make more money to buy more stuff for next year. Yeah, exactly. But, it's one thing to recognize, of course, and to talk about is the fact that Thanksgiving is ultimately another religious holiday. Now, it's not a day of the church. The church does not have an official day of Thanksgiving. Actually, that's Easter, if you want to be technical, because we're thankful for the salvation that Christ brought to us. But here in the United States, we celebrate that, was it fourth Thursday of of November, and that's why it's so early this year. That is a day that we recognize, you know, being thankful for the gifts that we have. And, you know, every one of us who grew up in the United States, we know the stories of the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, and they were saved by the native tribes. And so they were so thankful and, you know, we all know that story, but it is good to have one day where we just take time to be thankful.
Agreed. Yeah. And of course, I live near Plymouth Rock, so they take every school kid in the area at least once in their lifetime to go to Plymouth to see the plantation, to see the rock, which is hard to see anymore because it's got a huge building portico over it, and it's on the beach. But they don't want anybody to walk down to it. So they've built this concrete jetty over it, sort of, that you just kind of look through the bars and you can see the rock. Somebody, you know, put 1620 on it. And that's, but it's interesting. If you go to Plymouth Plantation, it is quite a historical venue, and they are so good at presenting what the pilgrims were like when they first got here, what they used, the implements, how they cooked. They have the whole history down. So if you ever do come to the Massachusetts area, you should. Plymouth Rock and Plymouth Plantation is a really good stop to get in touch with the beginning of the American history here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's of course, again, it's an interesting story. You know, it's for me, I've visited the Boston area, but I've never actually been to like Plymouth Rock or any place like that. But it's for me, you know, having grown up in Montana, it's just a kind of an interesting story that it's like, oh, well, okay, well, this is why we eat turkey and all the trimmings, because that's what you do. But you know, I do like the fact that the church in the United States has taken this as an important celebration. You know, we have there is a mass in the Roman Missal for Thanksgiving Day. And it's actually a very beautiful mass. I love the words that the phrase that they use in there. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I remember that it's a very beautiful mass, beautiful celebration of Thanksgiving, you know, and it's always a part of my homily is to remind, you know, sometime today, turn off the TV, turn off the football. You can do it between games. There's always time. And say thanks, you know, say a prayer of thanks, say what you're thankful for. That's one tradition we would always do especially as a kid. And of course, as a kid, well, I'm thankful for family, and I'm thankful for the dog, and I'm thankful for the house and for the food, and, you know, but take that time to be thankful for something.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I work in evangelization, and that's something that we try to encourage people to do more often in their prayer. Because a lot of times when we are taught to pray, we're taught to pray as, you know, please God this, please God that, asking for things. And we aren't necessarily taught to thank God for things. You know, I mean, kids, of course, parents teach their kids to, you know, say thank you, like when somebody gives you something. But then when it comes to thanking God, it's kind of funny that we don't really think of that typically. But, you know, for myself, I'm glad that my dad both my parents were raised in homes that didn't have very much in terms of, you know, financial resources. And my dad especially had a difficult upbringing. And so he would always say, thank God for that. Whenever we would have something that we were happy about that we would tell him about, he would say, well, thank God for that. And so that's been kind of a part of my, I guess it's like a mantra in my head, you know, whenever somebody, now I've just picked that up, you know, that behavior, that response. So I'm very grateful for that as well. And I hope that, you know, those who are listening can consider maybe incorporating Thanksgiving more into their prayer life.
Right.
One thing that I do every night is I think about three things that I'm grateful for and thank God for those three things that went well during the day. And then three things that I want to do better tomorrow. And just, you know, speaking with God through those things. So, yeah, it's a good reminder too, you know, that mass, like you said, Father, is about Thanksgiving. How often do we really think about that?
Exactly.
Kevin and I try to get to mass on Thanksgiving morning because we believe it's the most important thing we do on Thanksgiving. Right. We have a nice tradition in our parish where they give us a loaf of bread. They do a blessing of bread, and then they give a loaf to every family with a prayer on it to take to your Thanksgiving table.
Oh, sure.
That's something that we've treasured the last couple of years. And I, both of us, but I know myself, I was brought up in a very, you know, different background where we were pretty, we had what we needed, but we were in no way, you know, we were no way rich. And my parents always taught me to be very, very thankful for having what we have, because God always provides. And that's been my mantra, that no matter what happens, God always provides. Mm-hmm. And taking the time on Thanksgiving to remember that, you know, just like taking the same time on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day to remember that God is, you know, there with us every single day of our lives. These are the things that our church can point to with these traditional, you know, secular holidays sort of, and sort of, you know, bring us back to God is in control. Be thankful. Yeah. God always provides.
Well, it's something I try to remind people is our very lives. The fact that we exist at all is because of God. If God did not want us to exist, we wouldn't exist, period. There's nothing we could do about it. But he does want us to exist. He wants, you know, he wants us to love him because he loves us. And this is one way we can do that is, you know, by being thankful for what he has given us. And I kind of a joke I'll do it this weekend as I'm announcing the mass schedule is, you know, mass Thanksgiving Day mass is at 10 o'clock. The football games start at 10:30 our time. You'll be fine. Come to mass. Then you can go watch football.
I would love to know how football got to be such a staple of Thanksgiving,
you know,
because it's American.
Well, I think we can blame Texas for this one, because wasn't it the Cowboys that kind of started that tradition? Was the Thanksgiving Day football
that sounds
game was
familiar? Yeah.
Well, the Lions always play on according to my husband, the Lions always play on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Lions and the Cowboys are the two big teams that always play. And of course, I'm looking here, and you know, we got the Lions the first game, and the Cowboys the second game, and the. Oh, we got the Indians. Sorry, this is gonna sound racist, but this is what it is: Indians versus Cowboys for the second game.
Both Redskins are playing Redskins. The Cowboys.
Yep. And then it's the third game is New Orleans and Atlanta. So I mean, that's kind of become the tradition. I think that third game they're just throwing in because hey, people are gonna keep watching football for three games. Why not?
West Coast.
Yeah, exactly.
You get all the West Coasters, you know, still eating at like 9 o'clock at night, their time.
Yeah. So it is great to take that time to thank God for the gift, to thank for everything we have. And it is nice to have that day just to relax and enjoy family, enjoy being around family and friends and being around others and not working. You know, of course, we pray for those who do have to work that day for certain purposes, but I think most businesses still shut down for Thanksgiving. Most, not all.
Yeah, except at 6 o'clock at night when they open up. Well, not they can't hear, but yeah. I think in Connecticut they open up at 6 o'clock at night to start the Christmas shopping.
Yes, the Black Friday and the Friday pre-Black sales. Friday. And,
I was looking around for my on my Christmas list, and I was looking online, and I'm seeing already the banners at the top of the page saying,
"Yep,
Black Friday deals start now." So, is it really Black Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I have. That's one of them.
Yeah, it is kind of ridiculous. And I've vowed that I will never do a Black Friday sale. Of course, living in Malta, that's not a big deal because we don't have any big box retailers here. But yeah, you know, there's like one year I was visiting my parents over Thanksgiving and we did go pick up a TV. This was 12 years ago, 13 years ago. This was before I was even a priest. And it's so ridiculous. These people stampeding in, you know, the stores have like three of whatever item they're selling at. And by the way, they're usually not the good TVs.
No,
they might be, you know, they might be decent, but they're not the really nice ones. So yeah,
it's, you know, we, the only time we've ever shopped Black Friday is because it was a Friday. We were both off and we needed to get something.
Right.
Yeah. Like the grocery store. Yeah. I remember living right next to a Walmart and on Black Friday, realizing that we really needed some, I don't know if it was like toilet paper or something like that. And yeah, we were just looking out with disdain at the Walmart. Like, no, we don't want to go over there. I think we ended up going to the corner store or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's the consumer society is like, okay, you've got this one day and this is the day you're going to get all these sales, all these good sales until the day after Christmas when we mark everything else down.
Exactly. We get rid of everything we weren't able to sell in time for Christmas.
Exactly. And then Cyber Monday, which is supposedly now bigger than Black Friday.
Yeah.
You know what's great also about that, too, for us as people who celebrate Christmas, starting with Christmas, is that I've actually given people gifts like, you know, after Christmas. I've actually been able to like buy something after Christmas and then give it to somebody during the Christmas season. And they weren't offended. They were actually, you know, it was like, it was just kind of part of the celebration. So that's kind of cool too, is being able to take advantage of the sales.
See,
friends and family listen to this. So yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah. See, one nice thing about being a priest, where, oh, I'm busy on Christmas. I don't get to see my family till after Christmas. So they know they're not going to get gifts from me until after Christmas, because I'm not going to get there until after, you know, because I'll go home and visit probably the week of New Year's is probably when I'll go home and visit. It's just easier that way, since, you know, we've got that lovely Christmas is on Tuesday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, it's better than last year where it was three. So anyways, we'll get into that with plenty of time to deal with all that. But it's Thanksgiving is at least as far as that's concerned, Thanksgiving's nice because there isn't a lot of the stuff around it. You know, usually most parishes will have one mass, maybe two, and that's it, because no one wants an evening mass on Thanksgiving. They want to be eating. They want to be sleeping. They want to be watching football. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most priests find a family to go join up with, or their own family if they live close enough. And yeah, they'll be sitting in front of the TV watching football passed out just like everybody else. Exactly. And that's a very good thing. Well, this is a good place, I think, to take a break and to thank everyone for listening to Let's Talk. We really do appreciate everyone who joins us every week. We hope that you are enjoying Let's Talk. If you are, please do like and subscribe. You know, you can like our podcasts on the SQPN Facebook page. You can comment and share how much you enjoy our show on iTunes. So please do that. Of course, we are still in the middle of our giving campaign, and we thank everyone who has given. We are thankful for everyone who has been given so far to our campaign. And those of you who haven't, we encourage you to please do go to sqpn.com/give and consider how you can help us with our mission to share the faith through our culture. You know, the mission of SQPN is to look at our culture and to bring the faith to our culture using, you know, our popular things like our shows, Secrets of Doctor Who, Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Movies and TV. We're able to do that. We've got other shows coming up here where we can look at other aspects of our faith and other aspects of our culture. So please do again, consider how you can share to help us continue these shows. You know, it does cost us money. I wish it's like with cable, when you have cable television, some of the money that you give to the cable company goes to the TV stations. We don't have that. The money you give to your internet provider stays with your internet provider. It doesn't come to us. So to help us keep these shows going, and of course, we are always going to make our shows free of charge. We'll never charge anyone for them. But if you want to help us be able to do that, please do go to sqpn.com/give. You can sign up for our Patreon, where you can a monthly gift, and then we can reach out to you in that way. That's a great way that we can coordinate and talk with those who do give to us, who enjoy our shows enough to share with us their earnings, what they have, their money, their gifts. We can talk to you. We can maybe even do some Patreon specific items. There are things we can do. Of course, there are gifts that we can give to you if you give at certain levels at Patreon. You can look on Patreon, on our Patreon link, to see what those gifts are. So please, again, do consider how you can help us, especially with this Thanksgiving. If you are thankful for what we do here, of course, we ask for prayers, you know, thanksgiving to God for our work. But then also go to sqpn.com/give. Now, before we go on to the Picks Week, is there anything else that either of you want to share about Thanksgiving? Anything we haven't talked about?
Well, one thing that I did think about is all the wonderful people who take time out of their Thanksgiving day to serve the homeless and those who cannot provide a Thanksgiving meal for their family. Mm. I love seeing parishes, you know, hosting Thanksgiving dinners for people, seniors or, you know, people who are homeless, jobless, whatever the case is. And here in San Antonio, we actually have an annual Thanksgiving dinner called the Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving Dinner. It's for about 25,000 people in our convention center downtown. And people go and volunteer every year to put this thing on, and businesses donate food. So it's just a beautiful thing to see. And I just wanted to give a shout out to anybody. If anybody's listening who does do that, kudos to you. Your reward will be great in heaven for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I think there's actually, I'm trying to remember where, but I think there is a group here in town that's going to put on a dinner as well. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, because there are people who they can't afford a traditional dinner. You know, another thing you might see are people who do the Thanksgiving boxes, where it's like the meal in a box, where it's got the turkey and the stuffing and the cranberry sauce and all that stuff. And they take it to poor families that maybe can't afford their own dinner. So that's kind of another extension of that. You know, and we're thankful for those who do that as well, who donate food and time to do that as well.
Yeah. And in Middleborough, our parish, Sacred Heart, has a St. Vincent de Paul Society, and that's what they do. In fact, this week they'll be boxing. There'll be a whole bunch of volunteers coming to box all of the Thanksgiving dinners, and they'll put them on our box truck and they'll take them out to all the families that have requested them.
That's awesome.
These are we have our St. Vincent de Paul feeds about 500 families a month.
Wow.
With food pantry and with, sure. And this is sort of like it's sort of a rural, but also an urban area. You go from city to like woods in like miles, but there's a lot of need there. There's a lot of people who have been out of work for a long time, and I'm glad that our St. Vincent de Paul has taken upon itself to do this every, not just every year, but every day.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of those families too who'll take something like that, you know, whether it's the normal food bank collection or something like, you know, again, the Thanksgiving box, and they can afford food, but this just helps stretch that budget just a little bit more, just, you know, be able to, you know, one more good meal for their family versus ramen noodles for another meal, you know, something like that, you know, so it's a very good thing. And it's something I think we need to contribute to and help. And again, be thankful to those who do contribute to and help, because they are very needy things, you know, things that we need.
Right.
So Well, very good. Very good. Well, let's switch over now to our picks of the week. Every week we choose something that we want to share, and it can be anything. I don't know if I've ever actually explained the pick of the week. I think you can probably figure it out, those who are listening, but we just pick anything, whatever it is we're interested in. It can be faith related. It can be tech related. It can be books we're reading, TV shows we're watching, whatever it might be. So, Joanne, I'll let you go first. What would you like to share for your pick of the week?
Well, since I always seem to come up with really strange things, my pick of the week is a current movie that is in theaters now, Run, Don't Walk. Go and see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I want to so badly.
How did you know that was going to be my pick of the week, Joanne?
I am so sorry.
It's okay. It's a mutual pick.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, nobody, I mean, I'm the old lady in my circles, and nobody realizes that I'm a huge Queen fan.
Nice.
Always have been. I mean, Queen and Barry Manilow. Let's look at both ends of the spectrum. But I saw the movie the day it came out, and I know critics have complained that it wasn't, why didn't we get more into Freddie Mercury's story? It wasn't a story about Freddie Mercury. It was a story about Queen.
Right.
That's the whole thing. It was a story about the group and mm-hmm. how, and you can't tell the whole story in what, 3 hours, 2.5 hours.
Right. Oh, wow.
I think they did a wonderful job in the acting. Absolutely superb. Angela, are you feeling the same way I did about it?
Oh, absolutely. The two actors that really stood out to me in particular were the actor who played Freddie Mercury and the actor who played Brian May. I kept looking at him and thinking, is that really Brian May on stage, just so many years younger? Yeah. It was absolutely magnificent. And personally for me, I felt like it was a work of art in the sense that I had kind of a transcendent experience at the end of the movie, because at the end of the movie, they, of course, portray the Live Aid concert that Queen is so famous for having played in. And the way that they portrayed this on film, but also feeling almost like you're in the crowd and you're swept up in the sense of unity, the sense of excitement. It was kind of a transcendent experience for me. I was praying during while I was watching the movie. It was really interesting. So I know some people have had similar experiences too that I've spoken with. It's not going to be the same for everyone, obviously, but right. I do feel like it really was a work of art that, I believe Brian May was one of the producers of the film as well. And he really put his heart and soul into making this for years, trying to make this movie. So hats off to him. It was fantastic. So I do recommend it.
Yeah, both Excellent. He and Roger Taylor, who are the remaining original members of Queen, have always worked together and tried to tell their story and keep Queen's music alive. Queen's music was the rock and roll for the thinking set. Because, Brian has a doctorate in astrophysics. He is not, just a musician. And I hate to say that as a musician. But it was, I remember Live Aid. I saw it live. Mm. And they recreated that so well. The actor who plays Freddie Mercury is the same actor who plays Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
And he is just phenomenal. And if you can figure out without knowing who Mike Myers is in that movie, good luck. Because Myers is totally unrecognizable. But I give them props for giving him, having him in the movie, because Wayne's World is the one that sort of directed Bohemian Rhapsody. Oh, yeah. And my husband and I still argue whether or not Bohemian Rhapsody is the best rock and roll song of all times, or is it his favorite Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven.
Sure.
And I keep saying, no, it's Bohemian Rhapsody because it's a masterpiece. But go see the movie. It's even if you're not a Queen fan, you might become one. And I've seen Queen live, unfortunately not with Freddie, but I've seen Queen live recently, and they for 70, they're still playing like they were 25 and 30. They still have it. So yeah, it's a wonderful addition to them.
Yeah, this movie I definitely want to see. Actually, I kind of kicked myself a couple weeks ago. I was up in Swift Current, Canada, which is 150 miles north of here. And it was in the theater, but I didn't realize it till the next morning when I was getting ready to leave town. I could have gone and seen it there in the theater, but I want to see it because you mentioned Wayne's World. I had to chuckle at that because that was kind of my introduction to Queen. Of course, I knew Queen because we'd listened to a lot of that kind of rock, but was really my introduction was that scene where they're in the gremlin headbanging to Bohemian Rhapsody. I had the greatest hit cassette and would drive around town, you know, in high school listening to that and others. And so, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Queen as well, because it really is. It's just great music. Some of the themes may not be the best, as most rock is, but it's great music. And so, I look forward to seeing that one.
You'll enjoy it. Seriously.
Yeah. And if you can, try to see it in theaters while it's in theaters, because you'll get the experience, the concert almost experience.
Sure. So. Oh, I'm sure. You know, my little surround sound system won't quite match, I'm sure.
It is a movie I'm buying. I buy very few Blu-rays, but then when this comes out, it's part of my collection for sure.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to switch gears for my pick. Since we had our good joint pick, I'm going to switch gears. This past week, we did our Drinking the Spirit, what we call our Theology on Tap. Drinking the Spirit is what we call it. And we had a deacon in this diocese. He's actually in the next parish, quote unquote, at 70 miles away. Come over and talk about end of life issues. And it was excellent talk because he actually did kind of a certification through the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, on these end of life issues. And one of the presenters that they had is Father Tad Poholchek of the National Catholic Bioethic Center. And I want to promote that center. If you haven't heard of them, the NCBC, the National Catholic Bioethic Center, is an excellent, excellent resource for any of these whole life ethics issues, you know, these bioethic issues, because going anything from conception and abortion and in vitro fertilization and birth issues and disabilities, and I mean, all the way through to euthanasia, end of life type things, they talk about it all. And they are an excellent resource on all of this stuff that if you want questions answered, they're the resource to go to. They've written books, they're on EWTN all the time, so there's videos all over the place. They travel around the country speaking. I've met Father Tad years ago when I was at seminary. He came and gave a presentation. Just excellent, excellent resources, excellent material. Everybody that they have working for them are absolutely brilliant. I mean, they've got doctors and physicians and PhDs and, you know, people with more letters after their name than there are in their name. You know, I mean, it's just absolutely brilliant. So check them out. You can find their website at ncbcenter.org.
Yeah, we know Father Tad around here because he's a priest of the Diocese of Fall River, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. So, sure, that's right. That's right. He's from that area.
Yep, we do. We know him. So he does a lot of good work.
Yeah,
and just a reminder too for people who may not feel like any of the issues that you mentioned are relevant to them. Also, they do have information about creating a living will, and mm-hmm. so if you have that on your to-do list, or if you want to refresh it, or if you have, you know, a loved one who's going through an illness, knowing how to prepare for that in terms of, you know, physicians' directives and all that kind of stuff. That's right. A good resource as well for those things.
Well, just kind of glancing through their list, they've got a whole page just bioethics topics, and it's stuff like brain death, Catholic health care, conscience protection, end of life decision making, genetics, marriage, natural family planning, organ donation, persistent vegetative state, reproductive technologies, pregnancy complications, research, vaccines. I mean, any of these issues from, you know, birth to death and beyond, they really talk about. So, again, if you have any questions about anything related to bioethics, about ethics of healthcare, ethics of human, of humanity, of just of life, they would be a good resource. So check that out. So, well, thank you both again for coming on. It's been a great to see you both, and great conversation. Joanne, where can people find you?
Well, if you want to find me, I'm at the Collaborative, cranberrycatholic.org, the Cranberry Collaborative. We serve Middleborough, Lakeville, and Rochester, Massachusetts. And it's work, work, work all the time, but we're doing work for the Lord. Well, that's right, very, cranberry land.
Well, very good. How about you, Angela?
You can find me on Twitter at InspiredAngela.
Excellent. Excellent. And I'm Father Corey Stika. Once again, you can find me at my website, frcorey.org. That's where I post my homilies. You can find me on Twitter at frcoreystika. And my Facebook handle is Father Corey Stika, my page anyways, because I can't do it for my personal profile. They don't like having titles on Facebook. And of course, you can find me on Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Doctor Who, and other podcasts here at sqpn.com. Once again, if you want to send us feedback, you can reach us at letstalk@sqpn.com. We really do appreciate your feedback, so do send us some. Let us know what you think of this topic or any of our Let's Talk episodes. And then once again, look at our giving campaign, sqpn.com/give. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
This is Don Bettinelli again. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast and that you'll help us keep producing the podcast you love. Thank you for your generosity. To make your pledge and find out about the free thank you gifts we'd like to send you, visit sqpn.com/give. That's sqpn.com/give.